Good morning. Most of us celebrated Independence Day yesterday, and I think some of us are still celebrating it today. It's certainly a time for family and friends and food, fireworks, parades, floats, bands, clowns, jets, all kinds of excitement. We had an opportunity to show our patriotism yesterday. 233 years ago, this country declared independence for a better way of life. Certainly that had to do with a war, some battle, choices to be made, which side to serve on. But certainly the people, we felt that we were breaking away. We had a freedom and a new hope and new leadership. Our forefathers back then thought that it was very important that we trust in the Lord so much that they put it on all their money. In God we trust. And it's printed in capital letters. So it's really like a statement of faith of our forefathers saying, in God we trust. Doing a little research on that, it actually took them 4 years. Ben Franklin and a group of men, took them 4 years to come up with the insignia on the dollar bill and some of the wording on it as well. And it took 2 years to get approved. We think of bureaucracy today, but back then. A couple of things that I didn't know about. Above the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, there's a Latin word called annuit coeptus, and it stands for God has favored our undertaking. At the bottom of the pyramid, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order has begun. 1776 is written at the base of the pyramid. On the other side is the eagle, and above the eagle is the Star of David. Above the pyramid, you probably remember there's an eye. That eye stands for God, watching over us, representing God. And Ben Franklin believed that one man couldn't do it alone, but a group of men with God could do anything. There are a lot more symbols on the dollar bill. I'm not going to go through them all. But I think the important message our forefathers really want us to know was to trust in the Lord. In God we trust. Actually, with every financial transaction, daily. And to remind us that God has blessed us. A lot of times, myself, we are all like sheep. We easily forget, or we don't always see God's work in our lives. But our forefathers wanted us to remember that daily, on a daily basis, we trust in the Lord. 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus down to show us the way to live and to be our Savior if we choose to accept Him, to be our guiding light, our vision. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. Jesus also said, I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. John 10:10. Last week, Pastor Pete finished on a series of sermons from Luke where Jesus preached sermons on the plain. And during that time, Jesus talked about his enemies and forgiveness and looking at ourselves and so on about what we reap, seeing past the log that's in our eye, what goes around comes around. And Pastor Pete finished up with the rock, that Jesus Christ is a rock, is like a rock in our life. And no matter what happens in our life, storms of life, etc., when if we're standing on firm ground, nothing will shake us. We may be shaken or whatever, but we have the rock of the Lord to rely on. And he laid that rock when he died for our sins. Pastor Pete mentioned that God is already there. We don't have to dig through the sand to find the rock. God is there. And I kind of visualize it as, we've all probably been at the seashore, and you stand near the ocean's edge, and you're standing on the sand, and as the waves come in, it gradually takes your sand away from your feet, and you're falling. And if you have a really bad wave, you could fall over. But you reach the point where there's a rock under your feet where you don't sink any further. And that's Jesus in our lives. Probably a lot of us, maybe not the little kids, but I don't know. Probably all of us have experienced storms in our lives, some more than others. certainly like the major storms we're all familiar with, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, a parent, a spouse. Some of us experience the pains of divorce, job loss, bankruptcy, maybe even being homeless, or where's my next meal going to come from? But the important thing to remember is the Lord is always there. He is our rock and our Savior, our salvation. We are reminded to trust in God. I often reflect on the 23rd Psalm, remembering that the Lord is my shepherd. And as you guys recall it, it goes on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is there to comfort me. He's there to comfort us. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that Jesus comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gave us. We share in the many sufferings of Christ. In the same way, much comfort comes to us through Christ. And that's probably one of the biggest strengths of the brethren, is that we're out there to serve and comfort others. And that's an example of faith being lived out in our lives. In James, James talks about when you have many troubles, you should be full of joy. I don't think we always think of joy when we're in a trouble. But it says, when you have many troubles, you should be full of joy because you know that these troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete. Sometimes the storms in our lives aren't always apparent. The big ones obviously are, but sometimes storms come to us as little temptations or worries, or wondering like how am I going to provide for my family, etc. And it causes a battle within us. In Philippians 4, 5, and 7, we're reminded not to worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything we need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we can't understand it, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we won't be worrying about everything. We'll be focusing on Jesus. Jesus tells us that we are more valuable than the sparrows and the lilies, and God takes care of them. I was talking to one of my friends about that the other day, and she said that she never saw a sparrow have like an anxiety attack or just lose it or fall off the wire. You know, God's taking care of them. So you're probably wondering, well, what does all this have to do with building a shack? Well, Jesus is the foundation of our lives, and we build upon it by doing God's work. Mike just read 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are God's workers, working together. You are God's farm, God's house. At first, when I read that, I didn't quite understand it. We are God's workers working together, but then we're God's farm, God's house. I didn't quite understand it, but then it came to me. Is that as we're working for God, God's working in us and building us up. As we are doing God's work, we are God's farm. God is growing us, transforming us, and perfecting us. We are God's workmanship, created to do God's work. We do God's work by comforting others, by serving, by loving, by sharing God's love. We often use our time, our talents, and our resources. We build up the shack by doing God's will, by doing works that are from our heart and worthy of God's tests. God tests our works, and we are built up by thinking about things that are good and worthy of praise, that are true and honorable and pure and beautiful and respected. We build by being doers of the word. I reminded this one story of Francis de Assisi. He was a monk, and he had a student, a mentor, and I don't know what a young monk's called, but he had a mentor with him, and they were going to go out preaching. And he invited the student along, and the student, they went down to the village to preach. And along the way, Francis de Assisi, he encountered a widow and talked to her, and then a fisherman, talked to the fisherman a while, and went over to a blacksmith and helped them, and a farmer, etc. And then they went back after all day, just walking around, talking to people. He went back to the monastery, and the student says, I thought we were going to go preach. And Francis Assisi said, well, we did. We served the Lord and spread the news as we were doing our daily walk. Kind of reminds me of the hymnal, of singing some hymns to a shut-in. I'm also reminded of another story. It's from Casting Crowns. Casting Crowns is probably one of my favorite groups. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, I wasn't really much into Christian music. But I find that God teaches, there's a lot of wisdom in music, and God teaches us through that. And I've learned a lot through that. One of the songs is called American Dream. And it talks about this guy. We're not going to sing it today. But it talks about this guy who works really hard, gets up all day. He's trying to pay for his BMW and his big house and so forth, and his kids never see him. And he's chasing the American dream of having more wealth and keeping up with the neighbor. And in the song, he talks about building his castle on the sand. And really, if our lives don't have Jesus in it, it's like building a castle on the sand. We'd rather have a shack on the rock than a castle in the sand. The Bible is replete with Jesus' teaching. And in fact, in John, 2,000 years ago, John says that the world could not contain all the books written about Jesus' miracles and his teachings and his serving. His final example of serving was during the Passover meal, which we're going to be celebrating next week. The Passover meal, as you remember, was a sacred celebration of God's work in the people's lives. And I imagine it was a very reverent time, solemn time as well. But Jesus did something different that wasn't done before. He got down on his knees, and he washed the disciples' feet. And he served them. And he told them they wouldn't understand what he was doing at the time. And he served in a manner no one would understand. And during that meal, he established a new promise to us. And then Jesus went on to carry out God's will for his life by dying for all our sins. Next week during service, we are invited to the Lord's table to affirm our acceptance of Jesus. Accepting Jesus into our heart as our Lord and our Savior. If I know pretty much everybody here, so this probably doesn't apply. But if any of you haven't invited Jesus into your life, or you have any questions, please talk with a member of the church, or myself, or Mike, or a deacon, Pastor Pete. God is transforming us from the inside out. Please bow your heads while you pray with me. Dear Lord, creator of all there is and was and is to come, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to show us the way, how to live, how to share, and to spread your love. We are grateful for your love and grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you for your hand in building our lives, and hammering out what needs to be hammered, and shaping and polishing our lives, and growing us for your purpose. We thank you for your strength and encouragement. Forgive us when we forget that you are in control and not us. You are our rock and salvation. We are nothing without you, a castle in the sand instead of a shack on the rock. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.